morning's message is going to be entitled Fighting Unbelief. Fighting unbelief. See, we may all believe in Jesus. We all might have a relationship with Christ. But there are those times when our faith wanes, when we find ourselves in that place doubting, when we find ourselves in that place, yes, yeah, certainly not losing our faith, but our faith has just been weakened. We face spiritual battles every single day. In fact, someone this morning had mentioned to me that, you know, in just our body, we've already experienced, not in our body, but people in our body have experienced the death of loved ones. Those are hard things to deal with. Those are hard experiences to live through. But it's also believing that even though they left this world, that one day we'll see them again. And that's the hope that we have in God. And we have to remind ourselves of that because the pain is real. The hurt is deep. The sorrow is there. I can remember when I first lost someone I loved. It happened to be a pet, but I lost a pet. And I could not believe the pain I experienced, the love that was there. And it really, God showed me the power and the strength in that emotion of love. And when we lose that love, or when that love is broken, how painful it is. And so God is always there for us. And so speaking to these spiritual battles, speaking to those battles that we face every single day, of weariness, just being tired, of suffering and weariness and heartache. It's those times when our faith needs to be engaged. And certainly at this church, we want to encourage believers to engage their faith. That's what we're about. We're about encouraging your faith to kick in when you have need of it. It's there. It's available to us, and we just need to believe. And that's what we're going to be talking about, fighting that desire to unbelieve. See, real faith is one of the most precious things in the Christian walk. It's so important to have real faith, not just thinking about faith, not just hearing about faith, but truly experiencing that faith. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, real faith in your life, when tragedy hit, when the storm came, when difficulties showed up, and you were almost amazed yourself, going, why do I have this amazing amount of peace? Why is it I should be heartbroken, I feel like I should be discouraged, but God is there, and that peace comes. And it's because of the faith that we have. See, a wise man once said this: there are a million ways to please God, but not one of them without faith. You can do a lot for God. You can serve Him. But if you're not doing it from a perspective of faith, if you're not being motivated by faith, no, then it's not true. It's not true service to the Lord. And it doesn't please God, because it says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, what? It's impossible to please Him. Without faith. So everything that you experience, everything that you're going through in your life, there has to be an element of faith, believing. And what I love about a Christian walk, or even just a Christian, is we have the power and we have the ability to remind someone to be faithful in God. See, when you experience difficulty in your life, and maybe you come to me and share that with me, I have the wonderful opportunity to encourage you to trust in God. That's what faith is. It's trusting in an eternal being. It's trusting in our loving Father. It's trusting in our Savior who died for us and will make all things new. And it's trusting in the Holy Spirit to carry you through that season. Now, it may not change the season. It may not change the experience, because there is that pain there. But when you know God is with you, it makes it a little bit easier. Faith is so important because it is the key to our relationship to God. Faith is the key. So I'm going to ask you this morning, when I find myself faithless, encourage me in my faith. When I find you in your faithlessness, I'm going to encourage you as well. Because we just need to be reminded that there is a God in heaven who can change our circumstances. Amen? Who can change the circumstances in the blink of an eye. Do we believe that? Or do we get so discouraged in our life to go, it's just not happening. God's forgotten me. That's the most pitiful places of any Christian to be. To be in a place where you think God's abandoned you. Because I found, and maybe you found too, when it feels like God's abandoned you, it's God's ability and it's God's desire to stretch your faith. See, if faith isn't stretched, if it's not exercised, it won't be strong faith. And you probably know people in your life that have very strong faith. You're almost amazed at how faithful they are. That's what we want to be. We want to be those that believe in God and believe in faith. Because really, that's the two things that Satan uses is to weaken our faith with fear and to weaken our faith with doubt. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. He implanted fear in the heart of Eve. When he said, didn't God say you could eat of any tree? And Eve says, yeah, we can eat of any tree, except for the tree in the midst of the garden. If we eat of that one, then we're going to surely die. And what does the Satan say? The serpent says to her, he goes, you surely shall not die. He put doubt in her mind. Well, did God not say that? And that's what Satan does. He puts doubt in our minds when it comes to our faith. Because if you can doubt in God, guess what? You're going to be very weak. You're going to be very unstable. And so it's that fear and it's that doubt that embraces the epitome of what Satan wants to do. I just pulled up the wrong thing. This verse, I just love this. This is Paul writing to the Romans, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, this isn't Paul saying, hey, you get a little bit of faith, you get a little bit of faith. Ooh, you get a lot of faith. No, what it's saying is God dishes out and deals out to each individual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you will. See, Paul says, through the grace given to me, Paul was given a measure of grace to be able to write the letters of our New Testament, to be able to instill this truth to us this morning. And God has dealt to you a measure of faith. God has dealt to you a measure of gifts, another a measure of strength. And it's so needed in the body of Christ. I would hope this morning, as you come here, maybe with your needs, that's fine. But you also come this morning going, God has gifted me in certain ways, in certain aspects, in certain abilities that you and only you have. And it instills in this church exercising that gift. Whatever it is, if you're a person who's very hospitable, there'd be great people to be around. People that are encouraging, people that have this gift of faith to believe. Exercise this gift that God has given to you. Exercise it, use it, stretch it, challenge it. It's why we exercise it, so we can become stronger. And it's the same thing with spiritual gifts. We must exercise them to be strong. God equips you in a very special way. Listen, God doesn't equip anybody just so-so. He doesn't just give you enough so that you'll fail all the time. He equips you in a certain way. As long as you operate in your lane, you will flourish. And so operate in that gift because he's equipped you in a special way, listen, to do something special. What is it? What is your gift? Well, how has God dealt to you a measure of faith? Because that's what's going to fight our unbelief is if we're exercising the gifts that God has given to us. The problem is when we start to try to exercise somebody else's strength. When you look at other people, oh, they have that, or they're so nice, and they're so gracious, and oh, they have the ability to pray so well. Listen, don't look at other people's gifts. Look at the gift that God has given to you and use it for God's glory. That is the first step in fighting unbelief, is if you're using the gifts and the talents and the abilities that only God has given to you. This area of Scripture, once again, seeing Jesus do a miracle, I think Mark just loves to remind us that Jesus can do miracles. And, you know, as we've been going through this, we've been seeing it time and time again. And I think sometimes we can get kind of dull to it. Guys, let's be reminded that our God can do a miracle in your life. Not because you're a good person. Not because you read your Bible 7 days a week in a row. Not because you're anything, but because he loves to do a miracle in your life. To grow you and use you. And so I pray that we would be in tune to that as we read this and be reminded that God does miracles. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, read with me. And when he, Jesus, came to the disciples, we remember he was on the top of the mount for the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he said to the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you, or be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. As we, give me your attention here, here we see Jesus and Peter, James, and John, if you remember from last week, we're up on the mount, or a couple weeks ago, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so here they come now down the mountain after experiencing that. And what does Jesus find? He finds the rest of the disciples, okay, probably nine of the other apostles, and then other disciples around, and then he finds the scribes. Now the scribes are the ones who are professional in the law. They know the law. They're the ones that make sure everybody's keeping the law. So they know the word of God, at least the Old Testament law. And so they're here and they're disputing. Now, Mark doesn't give us the details of what they're disputing. But, you know, for me, I think about it. Here's Jesus up on the mount with his disciples and transfigures himself, and Moses was there and Elijah was there, and he was transformed in his glory. And it reminds me of Moses, when Moses was up on the mountain and he was received the Ten Commandments. Does anybody remember how many days Moses was up on the mountain? 40 days. And in 40 days, what happened to the group down below? Did they come off the rails a little bit? Right? Anybody can say golden calf with me? I mean, it's like 40 days. Within a, you know, a little over a month, we've totally abandoned Moses. And I can't help but wonder if some of the disciples and even the scribes at the bottom of the mountain are going, he's been up there for a few hours, a couple days maybe. Maybe he's not coming back. But in this crowd is this father who has a need. He's his son who's having these seizures. And he, as he told us, he brings them to Jesus' disciples and says, help me. And he says, but your disciples couldn't do anything. So I wonder if the dispute wasn't, man, without Jesus, we can't do anything. Maybe the disciples are like, if Peter was here, man, your son would be healed. Peter's really good at this, right? Or if Jesus, if only Jesus was here. Guys, you ever think like that? Do we ever get to the place in our lives where we're relying on someone else and we're going, man, if only so-and-so was here. If only, you know, my pastor was here. If only my parents were here. If only whatever, if we rely on anything besides God, that's unbelief. And the reality is, it's in Mark's gospel, the sixth chapter. You don't have to turn there. It says that Jesus called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Three chapters ago, Jesus says, you have the power to deliver anything from unclean spirits. So for some reason, the disciples were unable to help this father with his son. That's unbelief. That's unbelief. It's believing that we need Jesus here. Maybe we need Peter here. We just need the presence of God. For some reason, they were not able to exercise their faith. Also, they may have tried. They may have tried to do something, but maybe they were doing it with too much of themselves. We'll see later on what Jesus says is the cause of the ability that they could not do this. And it's going to be a great reminder for all of us. But for some reason, the disciples couldn't do it. And I wonder how many times in our lives, if we find ourselves in a spiritual circumstance where we could actually help someone else, but for whatever reason, we have excuses or inabilities or lack of faith to say, I can't do it. The person in here with the least amount of faith has enough faith for God to do a miracle in someone else's life. You understand that? The person with the least amount of faith, as long as they have faith that Jesus can do it, he's the one that does it anyway, right? It's not us. It's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's not how we pray. It's because of our faith in God to believe God can do a miracle in your life. And I try to remind myself that every single day, because almost every single Sunday or anytime I get together with other believers, if they're sick, they have a cold, the first thing I go is, are you taking your medicine? You know, did you take any medicine? I'm sorry, baby. I hate to do this to you, but when my wife's sick, she won't take medicine. I'd like to say it's because she's so faithful that God will heal her. I don't know what it is. You'll have to ask her. But she'll be sick, and I'll say, well, did you take NyQuil last night? No. Okay, did you take DayQuil today? No. Are you coughing? Yes. Literally, we went to Walgreens one day because she had this cough, and I bought cough drops for her, got in the car, we're driving home, and she's having a coughing fit. And I'm sitting there driving going, well, she's going to obviously get into the bag and take out a cough drop. So I looked at her and I said, would you like a cough drop? She's like, I'll wait till I get home. I'm like, why? Help me out here, please. I don't understand. They're right there in the bag. It's like, oh. So for some reason, I don't know. I will never know. I don't know. She doesn't know either. That's trouble. Oh, golly. But sometimes we don't allow our faith to kick in first. I share this story because it's a funny story, but are we doing things in our lives or neglecting to do things in our lives and dealing with the circumstances and God is up in heaven going, just ask me. Please just ask me. I want to do a miracle in your life. I want to do a miracle. And sometimes God does it without us, right? I mean, sometimes he'll answer our prayers even if we didn't pray because he loves us. But I want to be encouraged enough to say, you know what? Anytime someone comes in with a cough, I'm going to lay hands on them and pray for them. Poor Trent. Where's Trent? Is he in there still in the room or no? He's here with a cold. And it's like, first thing I'm like, if you have a cold, I don't want you to have to feel like you got to come serve. When you have a cold, stay home. But then I immediately am reminded, let's lay hands on him. Let's pray that God heals him. Again, it's that, it's getting past the flesh. It's believing by faith that God could do it. And then to pray that prayer of faith and see if God won't do it. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want. And that doesn't mean doesn't mean we prayed wrong. It just means sometimes God's will is his will, right? And we have to be good with that. So here the disciples are, you know, Jesus looks at the scribes and say, what are you talking about? And I love the fact they don't even answer. I honestly believe that the scribes are sitting there going, Jesus isn't coming back. I honestly believe that that's what they were saying, because if you'll notice in your text, when Jesus does show up, what's it say? They were greatly amazed. It's like, why were they greatly amazed? Because I believe Jesus showed up and they did not expect him to show up. And that can be our problem many times too. We don't expect Jesus to show up. What if we expected Jesus to show up all the time? I bet he would show up a lot more. That's the truth. The Father asked Jesus, I brought my son to you. He says he brought to him, which is so good, isn't it? When you got a problem, who's the first person you need to bring it to? Bring it to Christ. Bring it to Jesus. But when Jesus isn't there, the disciples were there, and he says they couldn't do anything. And look what Jesus says in verse 19. He says this, and he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Now, I believe Jesus is looking at the disciples, and he may be even looking at the Father. Because the Father knew enough to bring his son to Jesus that Jesus could do something. And I think he's looking at the Father. I think he's looking at the disciple. And I'm thinking he's also obviously in the earshot of the scribes and saying, oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to be here? How long are you going to rely just on my physical presence? See, we have the benefit of knowing Jesus is always with us, right? He's always there with us. They didn't. And so he says, oh, faithless or unbelieving generation. Because Jesus wants his disciples to have enough faith to pray to God to do a miracle. And that's what he wants for all of us, guys. He wants us to just have a lot of faith to believe that God can do a miracle. And this is something that I experienced in my own life. I've shared with you before when my brother was sick, I used to go visit him up in New York where my parents and my brother were living at the time. And so I had three trips I went up there, and both times he got better when I was there. And I'll never forget the second trip I left, and my mom was like, you have to come back more often because he does so good when you're here. And I looked at her and I said, it's not me. It's not my physical being. It's because, number one, I have a lot of faith in God to do the miraculous. And I encouraged my mom to have faith, to believe. I prayed over my brother and we saw physical healing. A tumor completely was removed from his mouth that he was bothered with. And my mom's like, you have to come back. I was like, you can do this as well. And I want to encourage every single one of you in this room. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. You have been gifted by God. He has dealt to each one of you a measure of faith. Exercise it. Use it. At first, it might seem awkward. I can remember the first time I laid hands on someone to pray for them. I mean, my whole time in my mind, I'm going, is this really going to work? Because it's the first time, right? First time you get behind a car, am I really going to get out of this alive? I mean, there's those doubts. But the thing is, you just keep doing it. You keep exercising. And your faith gets increased. I was blown away that my brother was healed, but I believed God could do it. But it was a beautiful thing. But it was my opportunity to encourage my mother, Mom, just believe in God. And He can do that in your life. He can use you as well. And I encourage you the same way. This is the tragedy as believers. We have been given the ability to serve a God that can do miracles and can do anything, and nothing's impossible for Him. And yet we still suffer. We still struggle. And I'm not saying that because we're Christians we shouldn't have afflictions. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we need to make sure we're taking them to God. And we're placing them at His feet to see what He might do. Look what Jesus does. Verse 20. And then they brought him to him, because Jesus says, bring him to me. I love that. I love the fact that Jesus looks at him and says, bring him to me. Guys, for all of us, we need to make sure we're bringing our problems to Jesus. So let's make sure we do that. So then they brought him to him, verse 20. And when they saw him, or when he saw him, in other words, when the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And his father said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Circle that in your Bibles. That's what the enemy wants to do to every single one of us. He's not here to just mess with us. He is here to destroy us. But if you can do anything, I love this, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I love this, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Even in our moments of great faith, there are always those little moments of doubt and unbelief. This father believed Jesus could do something. He believed he could help him in some way. He could believe he could have compassion on him. He believed enough to bring his son there. But there was that level of unbelief, like, why should Jesus do this for me? Anybody ever been there? Why should Jesus do it for me? And that's what we got to fight through. It's like, no, it doesn't have anything to do with us. If truly our heart's desire is that God would get the glory, somebody's calling me. That's interesting. That God would get the, it's interesting, I know who it is. They actually go to this church. Okay, anyway. I can't wait to talk to that person. and now I've totally lost track. What was it? Anybody remember where I was? Nope, okay, good. Yes, he believed that Jesus could do something, but there was that in his heart. And he's like, Jesus, help my unbelief. Guys, if you don't get anything but this, in the areas of your unbelief, nobody on the planet can help you as much as Jesus can. So in those times when you're having doubt, when you're not certain, when you have a little, you know, lack of faith, it's those times that truly we would get on our knees before God and go, but I believe you exist. I believe Jesus is the Savior. I believe He died for my sins and that my sins are removed. But God, there's times when I'm just lacking faith. And to ask God to help our unbelief. I love that this father does this. I love that he looks at Jesus and Jesus says, if you believe, anything's possible for him who believes. Now, isn't that a great verse? They're calling me again. If anybody has faith, anything is, look at that word though. Possible. It doesn't say it's assured, right? It's not like we can act by faith and say, God, do this, and God just does it because we have faith. No, it's possible. Because the reality is, if we ask according to God's will, it'll come to pass. If we ask contrary to God's will, it's not going to come to pass. I don't care how much you pray and how well you pray, if you're praying against God's will, it's not going to come to pass. But Jesus says anything's possible for those who believe. And in our prayer of faith and in our prayer of belief, believing God to do something that maybe is not according to his will, guess what God can do? He can change your heart. He can show you and change the direction. This past week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was down in Alabama for a pastor's summit. It was just a bunch of pastors getting together to encourage each other. On the ride down, one of the pastors was sharing with me how they were having this prayer meeting in his church, and there was this gentleman who had some cancerous tumors in his body, and I can't for the life of me remember where it was. But they prayed week after week for this man. And long story short, one of his last doctor's appointments, he went in, and the tumor was completely gone. I mean, completely gone. I mean, you want to talk about encouraging a body, right? That, man, we prayed and God did it. It was amazing. 2 weeks after that, the man passes away. And that really just kind of threw them all for a loop. Even the pastor was like, I just could not wrap my head around it. I'm like, I don't understand, God. We asked you to do something. You did it. You healed him. You got the glory for it. And then he passed away. Suddenly. And it wasn't until about 6 months later that the Lord spoke to that pastor and said, have I not healed him completely? And that's the reality, guys. When we don't necessarily get it the way we want it, when God gets it the way he wants it, ultimately, it's the better deal, right? I say it all the time. Jesus raising Lazarus, I believe, the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe they unwrapped Lazarus' head. And he looked at Jesus and said, why did you do that? Why did you take me back out of heaven? Right? I mean, can you imagine being in heaven and seeing the glory of God and then all of a sudden God brings you back? It's like, whoa, wait a minute. The problem with death, the problem with pain is that we're the ones who suffer. The ones that stay back are the ones who suffer. But the one who's gone on to be with the Lord is now in perfect health. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. And that's what he spoke to the senior pastor. He says, yeah, you didn't get what you wanted, but I gave that man what he needed. And that's the reality. When we're fighting unbelief, it's believing that God's will be done and we'll be okay with it once God works us through it. So be sure to realize that just because you ask doesn't mean it will happen. It means it's possible that it could happen. That's what Jesus says to this father. If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And this man says, help my unbelief. If you do anything this week, and maybe the rest of your life, be asking God constantly to help your unbelief. God, help my unbelief. Help it to go away. Help me to just flat out believe. Every single time something happens in your life, believe that it's God's will. Every time something, circumstances happen, okay, God, I'm believing that you're in this. Even some of the difficult stuff that God allows in your life. Don't ever think that God puts bad things in your life. He allows bad things to happen in your life for a reason. But he doesn't actually make those happen. Help my unbelief. Let that be a prayer in your life. Because I'm sure you're here. You believe. You believe in God. You believe in the Lord. But there are those times you doubt. When things get worse. When you're praying for something. And you're praying for something. And things are getting better. And you're excited. It's like God's working. And then all of a sudden things take a turn. What happens? What goes on in your mind? What goes through your heart? Did I do something wrong? Did I not do it right? Listen, we've all been there. This church has been there many times. As we're praying for God's will to be done and then things don't go our way, we're like, what happened, Lord? What are we doing wrong? You know, is our service supposed to be at 10:30 and not 9:30? I mean, what's the mistake? Don't get any ideas. Turn with me real quickly to Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. Luke 17, verse 3. We're going to jump into this a little bit. Luke 17 and verse 3. It says, take heed to yourselves, Jesus speaking. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And I love this. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What Jesus just said is make sure you forgive people, make sure you forgive people, make sure you forgive people, make sure you forgive people. And I would imagine his disciples are sitting there going, how am I going to do this? How many times do I have to forgive somebody? Seven times? I'm telling you right now, any single one of us, if someone sinned against us that many times in a day, by the seventh, we're going, you're done, dude. You know, I mean, that's why I believe. Help our faith, Lord. Increase our faith to believe this is true. Because it's the reality. We can't do it in our strength. So I love that the disciples here, or the apostles here, ask, increase our faith to be able to do this. And so what Jesus says in verse 6, so then the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And what Jesus says is when the apostles say, increase our faith, Jesus turns right back around and says, it only takes a very little bit amount of faith to do what I've asked you to do. None of us can stand before God and just say, I just didn't have enough faith to forgive somebody. Well, if Jesus is saying, then you don't have faith at all. The reality is he's given us enough faith, just a little bit of faith, that we can do amazing things, and enough faith to say, I need to forgive that person. Fighting unbelief means you got to be a forgiving person. And we live in a world where people don't forgive. We live in a world where people hold grudges and keep a list of mistakes, and that's not how it happens in God's house. He says you need to forgive that person because you know as well as I do, if you're not forgiving someone of something, you're the one in bondage. You're the one in jail. You're the one that's struggling with it. The person that you're not forgiving probably doesn't even think about it, but you do. And as I say this, many of us in this room are thinking about that thing that's constantly on our minds. Oh, you just brought it up again, Pastor Rob. Now I got to think about it again. Forgive it right now in Jesus' name. A little bit of faith. Forgive it. Let it go. God does a much better of repaying you for your wrong than anybody on this earth will. So let it go. Listen, forgiving someone does not mean it's okay and what they did wasn't wrong. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is releasing you from the bondage of up under that hold in your life. So let it go. Give it to God, and guess what? He'll bless you for it. Time and time again, I've seen people exercise this and do the right thing, and God turns around and blesses it. Helping unbelief. Fighting unbelief means asking God for help, right? Asking them. Increase our faith. Ask God to help you, and listen, he will. Last and finally, as we go back to Mark's gospel, verse 25, and this is the important part. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Now, give me your attention real quick before we finish this. So the crowd's drawing closer to Jesus. And Jesus uses that as an opportunity to display his beauty, his glory. And he heals the son. The son looks like he's dead. And what's amazing to me is the people actually said, oh, he's dead. If that's not an exercise of unbelief, if that's not an exercise of lack of faith, and I don't know, maybe we do the same thing too. It's like when we ask God to do something, and then immediately he does something, you're like, whoa, that's not what I wanted. And God's like, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. And when we got to be careful that we're not looking with our eyes, but we're truly seeing things with our hearts. God is at work. What you're asking God to do right now, today, even though it seems like he's not doing anything, he's getting things in place for you. He's setting things up. Sometimes we have to be patient and let God put all the pieces together before the full fulfillment of that blessing can come into your life. Be patient. We don't like being patient. These here, they saw this man dead and said, oh, yeah, look what Jesus did. He killed him. Look at the next verse, verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus finishes the job by grabbing his hand and raising him up. Let Jesus finish the work that he's doing in your life. Let your faith increase as the process happens. And then finally, verse 28 and 29. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? I love this. Everything that happens, all the disputes, all the arguments, the only thing these guys care about is, how come we couldn't do it? That's all they care about. Look what Jesus says. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. The last part of fighting unbelief is always being prepared. Always being prepared. Jesus, if you read your Bible, you know Jesus every single day went off by himself to pray. All the time he was going off to pray. So he's a man of prayer, constant prayer. So that's the first thing for us. We need to make sure that we're praying consistently. We're praying all the time. Being ready. God, prepare me for the day. God, equip me to be gracious. God, whatever it is you're asking, you're constantly asking God. And then fasting. It's hard to fast in a hurry, okay? You can pray in a hurry, but, you know, denying the flesh in a hurry doesn't really happen. It's like, okay, Lord, I didn't eat in the last 30 seconds. You know, it's like, come on. Prayer and fasting. So prayer needs to be consistent in your life. Fasting needs to be a practice that you do regularly. When's the last time you actually spent time and fasted? Truly, and I'm not saying skip a meal. Let's be real. I'm saying took some time, set aside something in your life to say, God, I'm going to deny my flesh something so that I can spend time with you spiritually. It's a lost art in the church today, and I believe that's the reason our churches are weak. That's why the body of Christ is struggling, because we're not doing the very thing that Jesus says. If you were going to ask Jesus this, God, why couldn't I do that last week? Well, God, why did I go off the handle so quickly last week? I think Jesus would say the very same thing, because you haven't been praying and you haven't been fasting. Because this kind only come out by prayer and fasting. The enemy wants to destroy us, doesn't he? And if we're not prepared, if we're not equipped, when the rubber meets the road and when the difficulty comes, you're not going to be ready. You're going to get run right over. But if we're praying and we're all filled up with God and the presence of God, and we're truly fasting and seeking the Lord, and he's speaking to us and he's equipping us, when those things come, boom, we're there, we're ready. You're going to be the first one to say, let's pray. Right? I mean, have you ever been in a meeting? You get together for coffee with some friends. Maybe someone's sick. Maybe someone's hurt. And you walk away and you go, man, I should have prayed. Have you ever said, oh, I should have prayed? Or somebody should have prayed. Well, if you're prayed up and if you're feeling that presence close, your faith is strong. You've fought unbelief because now you're going to say, well, let's pray about it. I had a friend down in Florida, still do, and this man was constant reminder. Anything that ever happened, let's pray. Anything, pray. Let's pray. Something's not going right, pray. The sun rose, let's pray. I mean, the sun's setting, let's pray. It was always about prayer. And it wasn't weird. It was like, yes, that's what we're supposed to do. Pray. So I encourage you, if you want to truly fight unbelief and you want to be that Christian that truly is being used by God, start out by believing that God can, trusting that his will is possible if for those who believe, that he would help our unbelief, and that we would all be ready when the time comes. We're going to partake of communion this morning. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for all of us to come before the Lord with the elements in our hands, knowing what Jesus did. God, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. But Lord, help me when I'm not believing. Help me when I'm doubting. Help me when the enemy whispers in my ear that you're not there for us. And use this time of communion with God to say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to make sure I'm praying. I'm going to make sure I'm going to spend some time fasting and truly setting some things aside of my flesh so that I can feel close to you. So I'm going to close this in prayer. The gentlemen are going to get the elements together. Worship team's going to come forward, and then we'll partake of communion together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. What a blessing it is to witness a father that had some faith to come to you, but admitted in certain areas he doubted. And so, God, we pray this morning as we come to you. Now I've heard your word and I've applied these principles to our lives. God, may we as a church look up to you and say, help us, Lord. Have compassion on us. If it's possible, Lord, move in our lives. And help us to get out of the way, Lord. Help us to allow you to receive all the glory and all the praise. Let us not take credit for anything. But let people see us and know us for people of faith, people that believe, people that are trusting in you. As we read, it only takes a little bit of faith to move a mountain, to move those obstacles in our lives. And so I pray this morning, as we come before you in communion, that we're reminded of what you've done, certainly, but also reminded of what you still want to accomplish in us and through us. The work on the cross is done. Our sins have been forgiven. But there's much work that needs to be done. We cannot do it in our own strength. For your word says, apart from you, we can do nothing. But it also says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So God, I pray, strengthen each and every one of us. I pray for the person here this morning that feels so far from you, that during this time that they would be drawn into your presence, that it would be drawn closer to you today. That they would hear your voice, sense your will, and live for you. To you be the glory, and to you be the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.